822, Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints joining us this morning. Ted, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
I want to talk about pensions. We'll get to that just here in a split second. I had a friend, Ted, who was very fond of saying this over and over again. Illinois doesn't have a tax problem. They have a spending problem. And I think if you were going to back that up, pensions would be a pretty good place to start.
Well, that'd be the best place to start. That's right, because all you need to do is look at how big, how fast the pension promises have grown over the last three decades to figure out, wow, that's where all the, you know, the promises have been going. That's where the money, the money's been going, and yet it's never enough, and it's forced taxes to go up faster and faster and faster, and that's why we're in the hole we're in.
Ted's report is called "Illinois Pensions: Overpromised and Overgenerous." It's a two-part series at WirePoints in the special report "Solving Illinois Pension Problem." When Ted started doing the math for this, he didn't just compare it to Indiana and Missouri. You compared it with 50 states. You applied the same math to Illinois as you did for all the other states.
That's right. You know, you've got the Illinois Constitution says that pension benefits cannot be diminished, but there's nothing in there that says the politicians can't continue to dole out more and more. And so we decided to look at, you know, whose benefits are going the fastest across the country. You know, let's look at all 50 states and who stands out. And when you do that over a 30-year period or a 15-year period, you know, Illinois is a national outlier. It has managed to grow its total pension benefits owed to government workers faster than virtually every other state in the country. And when you look at that growth, it's pretty fascinating, and it just far outstrips the ability of taxpayers to pay more money into the systems.
All right, let's take a look at this, because this is the number that prompted me to call Ted yesterday and see if he could join the show. In your report, total pension promises made by the state's five state-run pension funds have grown at 1,146% since 1987.
That's right. You just add up how much did we owe to our pensioners, how much in benefits that the active workers already earned and the pensioners already, you know, earned. We looked at 1987, and then we compared it to 2018. And it had gone up almost 11 times in that time period. And then we compared that to, well, how fast did the economy grow? Well, the economy grew, you know, the pension benefits grew four times faster than our economy did, than our tax revenues did. And that's got to be one of the biggest gaps in the country. We couldn't go back for 30 years with all states, but we could with in 15 years. But that gap, that growth gap in how many benefits are being doled out versus how much the economy is growing or what our taxpayers can afford, it's a massive gap. It's impossible to cover.
Now, whenever I spoke to the governor last on this, and when I say governor, not Governor Ron or Governor Pritzker, he disagreed with the number that I use when it comes to total pension liability in the state of Illinois. You can find articles, including Reuters magazine, dated back in late 2019, saying the unfunded pension liability has risen to $137.3 billion. Basically, 4 years of total Illinois spending. Do you have a number here that you feel that can be held up as our total pension liability for the state of Illinois?
Sure. So now when we move to what's the hole, right? What's the shortfall? You know, the official government numbers are 130, call it 140 billion to round it, 140 billion. Then you look around and you say, well, what does Moody's, the rating agency who rates Illinois bonds, who rates Illinois creditworthiness, they put the number at $240 billion. There's other groups that put it a little bit higher. But what we do know is that the official number is the rosy scenario. They're still counting on everything working out perfectly when places like Moody's and other, you know, Nobel laureates who come out and say, no, the number is far larger. It's over $200 billion.
And there's a couple of reasons
so the
why. And there's a couple of reasons why. And after reading your things, here's a couple of my takeaways here I want to share with you. You already know this, but I think these are significant points. One is the COLA, the yearly cost of living increases, ours much more substantial in Illinois.
That's right. So in Illinois, state workers get a 3%. Once they retire, their pension starts, their first pension. Every year after that, it grows by 3%, compounded on top of itself every single year until they pass away. And so what that does is that allows a pension benefit to double after 25 years. So if a retiree retires at age 58 with a $75,000 pension, by the time they're 83, their pension will be $150,000. It doubles. And that's huge compared to what other states do. You know, Iowa, for example, doesn't even give a COLA. New York, a big state, for example, gives a smaller COLA, but only on the first $18,000 of benefit. So, you know, here it's really rich, and it's what has helped bankrupt this state. That COLA is way too generous, and it starts way too early.
In New York, anywhere between 1 and 3% for the COLAs, but as you said, it's only on the first $18,000 in benefits. You know, there's one problem I have with this, Ted, and you're a math guy, so, all right, and I get that because I you know, that's the reality, is just do the math. But when I sit here and I listen to you talk about this, I find very often that I have a problem personally, and I have a hard time taking envy into occasion, going, gosh, I wish I had that. You know what I mean? It costs so much. Envy and objectivity, I struggle with that when I cover this type of story. You too?
Well, you know, the unions have been very powerful in Illinois, and they've negotiated deals with the politicians. And, you know, kudos to the unions for being strong enough to do it. The problem are the lawmakers who have granted these things. You know, that's where I find the blame. So, you know, I don't get jealous by other people having stuff. I just like it to be fair, and I don't think our lawmakers are fair to the ordinary Illinoisans that then are taxed to pay for these 3% compounded COLAs.
Right. Well,
so, you know, I try to find the balance in saying, hey, where's the balance between the people who get the benefits, the lawmakers who are in between them and the ordinary Illinois who are forced to pay for it, and you know, how do you make this thing work?
Right.
Because it doesn't work today.
Right. And so I was talking about there were two items in COLA, and then for that envy and objectivity, which just me trying to be as honest as I can, Illinois state workers and free health insurance. That is another more substantial. And here's what I find interesting in reading other people's work on this is just how wildly this can go up and down on the cost of Illinois, and that is free health insurance in retirement in the state of Illinois if you've been a state worker, because you've got that benefit and what it's worth and what it costs. There's really no way of anticipating that. We've got some general numbers, but you never know just how many people sick and very, very sick that are going to be involved, COVID-19 or not, when it comes to dealing with a number of people as they go through their older years.
Yeah, and you bring up a point. Let me just finish a point on COLAs. You know, you've got places like Indiana that do it on an ad hoc basis. They might give a COLA. You know, Texas, for example, didn't give a COLA benefit for a whole decade. Pennsylvania hasn't done one since 2002. Iowa hasn't done one. It doesn't allow for one. So, you know, we are rich in what we hand out. And when you start talking about retiree health, it's the same thing. We are giving a benefit. Workers who work 20 years, state workers who work 20 years will get free insurance premiums basically during retirement. You know, you got places that just don't do that. Wisconsin doesn't offer those benefits. Florida doesn't. Indiana doesn't. And yet we give probably one of the most richest free retiree health insurance programs in the country.
So national
20 years and it's free.
So nationally, state workers have to pay half or something like that?
Yeah. So if you look at the average, they have to pay half. And you know, we're giving it away for free. So, you know, if we just made simple reforms, just said, let's just move to the average. Let's just do what the rest of the country does. That would still be generous because nobody in the private sector, I mean, most of the listeners on this call who are in the private sector, none of them will get free retiree health insurance. It just doesn't exist.
Right. Well, okay.
So,
in this report, you talk about $200,000 to $500,000 per retiree. Over what period of time is that number effective?
That's over the life of the retirement life.
Average life. You know, it's interesting because in report in particular, you talk about teachers' pensions. And here's the thing. Whenever I talk to some of the teachers here in Southern Illinois and they hear you and I talk, they go, that's not what I'm getting on my pension.
Yeah, there's a discrepancy, no doubt about that. You know, if you look at the downstate teacher pay, teacher contracts, they're much lower in general than the suburbs, right? Suburbs of Chicago, and of course Chicago, those pays are higher. They bring up the average. So, you know, it's not always fair to talk about it in a blanket, but, you know, it's hard to break it all down. But overall, you know, Illinois benefits compared to, you know, let's say if you take downstate Illinois versus maybe downstate Kentucky, there might still be differences too. So overall, Illinois is very rich because of the COLAs and because of the retirement ages, for example, and things like that.
It was interesting because I was doing work on one and I was reading these stories, and it was a high school music teacher in Chicago made the same annual salary as the president of John A. Logan College. Now, I thought just it was insightful, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, all you do is look at the North Shore, where I live, you'll have all the superintendents making, all of them making 200,000 plus, and you know the ones who are senior will be making 300,000 and 400,000 a year. That's massive pay, and that of course pushes up everybody's pay, you know, in the school district. So it's expensive. For sure.
All right. So as we were saying earlier in the interview, we were speaking with Ted Dabrowski of Wire Points, 1,146% increase in pension in the five state-run pension funds. They've grown by 1,146% since 1987. Now, you used some numbers from Pew Charitable Trust data showing that Illinois pension promises grew the fifth fastest nationally between 2003 and 2017. A yearly clip of 7.2%. What I find interesting is I don't know what the new figures are going to be prior to COVID-19. If you got a 2% raise every year, you were non-typical.
So you bring up the point about this growth in pension benefits, right? So again, what we did is we just totaled up all the benefits that were owed, compared to time periods, see how much they grew, and did that for all 50 states. And what's fascinating is that you can see why Illinois is in trouble, because it has grown those at a pace that's double what Wisconsin has given out in benefits. You know, like 75% more than what Missouri has done or Indiana has done. It's just way too fast. And you know, if we'd only moderated the pace at which our pension benefits were being handed out, we wouldn't be in the crisis we're in. But we're an extreme outlier in the country for how fast we gave them out, and it's why we have so much debt, and it's why the politicians are talking about tax hikes again, and they're trying to avoid pension reform.
All right, some questions that are coming in. First, about the insurance. They say, look, only until you qualify for Medicare, when they say he's talking about staying on state insurance, once you qualify for Medicare, you have to drop the state insurance. That from Joe this morning.
Yeah, well, that's not true. So Medicare becomes the primary, but the Illinois insurance becomes the secondary. So it costs about $12,000 a year for the state, this is on average, for the benefits when people who retire at 55 from the government get this free retiree health insurance. They're not on Medicare yet, so it's really expensive for the state to provide that, because it's the sole insurance for a retiree. Once they hit 65, then Medicare becomes the primary, and the Illinois state insurance program becomes a secondary.
Okay.
It still costs something like $5,000-$6,000 a year.
Philip from Goreville says, teachers do not get free insurance. I can show you my retirement pay stubs.
And that is correct. Teachers do get benefits. A large share is paid, but it's not 100% like the state workers. So in the free insurance, it's the state workers, those state employees. After working 20 years, they get that 100% free.
All right, this is just some of the questions. See if there's any more that I can get on here real quick. No, just talking about how bad the cards are. Okay, so, but thank you for all the people who did send these in. Here's an interesting, wouldn't the high retirement be because of high salaries to begin with? I've always thought that interesting. If you're getting paid that much, you can put some back and retire early. Also, Chicago teacher pay retirement is a separate pay from a separate fund, I believe, and that is the case. They do have their own retirement fund for Chicago Public Schools.
That is correct. So let me just touch the first one. You mentioned that the higher the pay, the higher the pensions. This is what's been one of the interesting things about a place like Chicago, CPS. There, they actually didn't pay into pensions for a decade. But you have to ask, where does the money go if it doesn't go into pensions? And what it does is, well, the biggest cost of a school is it's a payroll. So if the money doesn't go to pensions, it goes to pay for higher payroll. And what does higher payroll do? It pushes up the pension benefits that are owed in the future. So it creates a double whammy. Not only did the CPS not fund the pension system, which makes it weaker, but it used all the money to pay for higher salaries, which in turn pushes up how much we owe in pensions in the future, making it doubly worse. So these are the kind of problems we've had in Illinois that continues to make the hole bigger and bigger for taxpayers. supposedly to have to fund.
I want to thank everybody who sent those great questions in and observations from people inside the system and sharing that with us this morning. I had hoped to cover some more subjects with Ted Dabrowski this morning, but if I do, we won't stop in time to get news on. So I'm going to have to ask Ted to join us because, be honest with you, Ted, you've been pretty prolific lately, buddy, on a number of different subjects, COVID-19, pensions, and you've been a really busy guy.
Well, Tommy, we've got a problem, right? People need to earn a living, make money, take care of their families, and we've got everything working against that, right? COVID is working against that as the lockdowns get worse. The pension crisis, they're talking about a new tax hike, right, in November 3rd. So instead of talking about reforms, we're talking about more tax hikes, making it more difficult for people. So it's a tough time right now.